Heretic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi guys, welcome to the Goodish Girls podcast and the Goodish Book Club. My name is Cass.
Dallas.
And I'm Madison.
And today is our last episode of our first book club series that covered One Dark Window by Rachel Gillig.
Yay!
Not completely woo, more like trauma and crying. Yeah. It's okay. But before we get started, I have a fun question for each of you. Don't be nervous. If you had to pick of the three infections and the magic that came with it that we know, so Emery's, Raven's, or Elspeth's, you wouldn't degenerate. Okay, let's put that caveat on it. But if you had to pick one of the magics to have, if you got the infection, which one would it be and why?
So Emery, the nightmare included with Elspeth?
Yes, that is her. Okay. Yeah, so you would touch the card and you would absorb it. And it would live in your mind.
I love Elspeth and I love the nightmare and I want a little buddy to hang out with me all the time.
I knew you were going to
protect me.
I want a little sassy monster in my head.
I kind of knew you guys were going to say that.
I feel like if I had Emery's, I would forget and then touch someone and be like, ha, and like accidentally read their memory or just a thought.
I don't want that.
Well, the forgetting is part of his degeneration, not his magic. His magic is just touching somebody and knowing
everything. Yeah, but like, I would
everything
that I had that, and I would like go to touch someone.
Oh,
and,
like, I see what you mean. Like, I was like, well, he forgets because he's sick.
No, I would forget that I have it, and I'd be like, oh, hi, buddy. Tap, tap. Intrusive thought.
And then you know everything about them.
So we're skipping characters. So you guys know who these are. Like, you guys know the characters, the places, all the things. However, I would like to preface this is that I finished this book exactly 10 minutes before we logged on to record. It's fresh. It's fresh in my mind. Literally, I heard the last line and then I was like, okay, now we're going to go record and talk about it. So there was no time for me to cry or do any of the things or process the book, really, because sometimes I need a day or two to figure out like what happened. So I want to start at the end of the book. Last line.
I actually have a comment to bring that I really wanted to send yesterday, but you weren't done with the book yet.
So. Yeah. I was like, okay, excuse me, sir, you knew where the card was the whole time. And you were just like, I'm just going to keep that my little secret. And they're like, we're hunting for the card.
I mean, he kind of starts to lead her to it when she's sleepwalking, but she also is not digging far enough for anything to come up. So,
yeah, I need to tell you guys that I think I have a new fear that I didn't realize, and it is sleepwalking.
Mm, that's valid.
I was if you thinking don't, about it. Ugh.
If you don't sleepwalk already, you probably won't sleepwalk in the future unless something very, very, very traumatic happens.
Unless I get infected and touch a card and have a little dude live inside my brain.
Right.
I don't think
you have any chance of that at this point.
I don't think so either. And I don't think I sleepwalk. I'm pretty sure I don't. I think my husband stays up late enough. He would be like, hey, girl, you showed up again in the living room.
You were doing some weird things, but it's
I tried to talk to you. You actually didn't answer, but I was like scared for her, for Elspeth. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine? It was like you literally left. You went somewhere. You're digging in the ground.
Somewhere spooky. And you're digging in the ground like a cemetery.
Sketchy.
The comment that I had that I really wanted to send to you guys in a message yesterday was Yeah. Hey, so what the fuck? And that's it. That was all I wanted to send. I didn't know. I didn't know this was a cliffhanger ending, and I'm a little salty about it. I know there's two books, but the impression I was given by multiple people when I spoke to them about this book, even 2 days ago when I was reading it at work, none of them mentioned the fact that, hey, if you want to know what happens, you literally have to continue. Like, you won't have answers. And so to Mandy, who recommended this book to me, you know what the fuck you did? Glares. I'm not happy with her at this moment in time. And also, she is still unalived. Question mark? Sad? I mean, I knew this was going to come. But I really thought, like I said, it would be complete and we would know somewhat of what happens by the end of this book.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen in book two?
Yeah.
I thought, okay, here's what I was thinking was going to happen. I either thought that she was not going to be fully gone in the nightmare by the end of this book, and that like the second book would be like them still trying to figure out how to collect the cards, or they would have her kind of situation with the nightmare figured out. She would at least be back and not like dead and figuring out how to get that last card. Now having her and him as a team. I was not expecting the heartbreak and then the cliffhanger with it. And like I said, even talking to literal coworkers at Safaris 2 days ago, they all made it seem like the books, they're in the same series, but they made it seem like they were two independent books because they were saying how they really liked book one, but they didn't like book two. But Book Talk prefers book two to book one. So I just thought, okay, maybe the end of a storyline happens here and we're still looking for the cards, but we're picking up from a different storyline or a different person in book two. Like, you know, I don't know. Just the way they were talking did not make me think that I was going to be like stabbed in the chest and then like left to bleed out. With no answers. So, anyways.
She big mad. She big mad. Wow.
Heartbroken.
She's going to be back. The nightmare literally was, the nightmare literally told us that he's like, she's resting.
Yeah.
Like, he never said that she's gone. And I think he cares for her.
True. Oh, 100%.
Well, yes.
He called her darling.
He's not going to let her go. But how long is she going to be gone for? And poor fucking Raven.
Till book two.
He'd be
honestly,
going
I'm a little
it.
Mad at Raven.
You're mad at Raven? Yeah, Elm's a piece of shit, actually. I'm really upset with him.
I'm mad at both men.
I have the quotes to prove it.
Okay.
To back my opinion.
So, like, even with it being a duology, like, I figured it was going to be ending on a cliffhanger because I, like, the only duology I've ever read is the Cat and Mouse duet. And that is, like, big cliffhanger. Love book one, but it's, like, very different mood from book two, where book two is just, like, I'm going to rip your heart out and you're still going to have fun, but there'll be lots of tears. So, like, I figured book one was going to end on a cliffhanger. But, like, also with the same with Cat and Mouse and some other books that I've read where I'm just like, you guys need to get your girl and go faster, please. I'm begging you. I was stressed. And Hoth needs to go. He's still trash. And someone needs to kill him so bad.
Why is he not fully dead? Why? He could be. He could be.
He could be.
So, actually, I have a little bit of beef with the Shepherd King as well. Honestly, there were a few times I had to go back and re-listen or even reread. Like, I have Drew's sister's Kindle because it has Kindle Unlimited and she accidentally left it here. And I will say, trying to figure out towards the ending of this book and the details of what was happening, I was listening and reading it at the same time, which I never do. I never do. And I don't know why I was having such a hard time. Probably because I went back to work this week and it was brutal at work. I don't know.
Did you slow down the speed?
Nope. Sure didn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't have finished if I did. So.
That's fair. That's fair. So circling back around, Addison, I want to know why you're mad. I am mad at Raven and Elm for one big reason. And that is because once Raven found out that the nightmare was like a thing and that all the and she woke up and right, she was sleeping and then she was awake. They're all in the room. Raven, how dare you ask her this super personal question while Elm is right there?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Question. Yeah.
Who is that voice? Who is speaking to me in your brain? That's a big, right? Who is the nightmare, essentially? Not in those words, obviously, because he didn't know, but he was like, who was that talking to me?
And I was
like,
what do you mean? It's okay.
See, I didn't see it that way. Yeah, I do have a lot of quotes from that one, that section.
I was listening to it, and I was like,
the nightmare is like, you better tell him right now, actually.
Yeah. Yes. And I don't think it's not that I don't think she should have told him, but I think it should have been Elm. Can we have the room?
I mean, he does get there, but I have problems with Elm first because of Elm's reaction.
I don't know. So let's just
dive into this. Actually, dive into this scene because I put it out play by play because I have some comments. And since all three of us seem to be upset for different reasons, we can talk about it as we go. So let's talk about when Raven and Elm find out that she has the nightmare living in her brain. Mm-hmm. So, of course, he uses the nightmare card on her to help her out during the chalice, quote unquote, game. Mm-hmm. And the poor girl is freaking out. Nightmare is like, get the fuck out. You hurt her, bitch. And Raven falls back shocked because he's like, whoa, what the hell was that thing? I will say I was upset at this point for him using that. And they always do the thing where you're like, I understand that he was trying to help her. But also at the same time, I was still upset at him because that was like her one rule.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I'm happy that Rachel Gillig can write a male character like this that knows he fucked up. Mm-hmm. And even though he says, oh, I was trying to help you. I thought I was helping. He still knows he fucked up because when he is sitting there waiting for her to wake up, he is like distraught and upset with himself that he did it. He apologizes and says that he shouldn't have done it. And he doesn't get mad at her or blow up because I feel like every time the male character does something to quote unquote help a female, at any point in any almost series that you read, they do the whole, I told you not to do that. And they go, I know, I was just trying to help you because I love you. Mm-hmm. And then the girls are like, I didn't want your help. I told you not to do it. And then the men blow up and they turn into assholes. Mm-hmm. But you know who doesn't do that?
Raven.
He actually sulks.
Yes.
And he knows he fucked up and he's hurt. So thank you, Rachel Gillig, actually. I appreciate your writing. For having somewhat emotionally intelligent men with still the basis that they fuck up like normal men. Because you know, in a perfect world, they would still probably do something because that's, you know. Anyways, sorry, got too deep into that. But they get her back in recovering. She wakes up and she is not happy, obviously. And he knew she would not be happy. And Elm even makes a comment where he's like, she should be thankful that you helped her. You helped me during that game. And Raven's like, no, I fucked up. I did the one thing she asked me not to do. And then I put in my notes, cue sad boy hours. Because he's just sitting there waiting, so sad. The nightmare is in her head telling her, stop letting him suffer. Tell him that you love him. Tell him it's okay. Tell him about all these things. And I just want to say, okay, King. Okay.
Okay, King.
Love you. Okay. Okay, King.
I want her to say that to him, literally. Okay, King.
The shock of the voice being the Shepherd King in her head. Okay. This is where things happen. Tell me why Elm... Or, like, tell me why I didn't like Elm's conviction as he starts piecing it together that the nightmare has been helping Elspeth.
What do you
because
mean?
Because I liked Elm up to this point. Oh, I'm going to give you. So
don't do work.
At this point, I was listening to it. I was listening. So this might make a difference because I wasn't reading it. And maybe if I was reading it, I wouldn't be as emotional. But the person who does the audiobook, she is really good at giving the voices emotions and reactions. Mm-hmm. And I was getting real heated and upset, actually, and started tearing up. Mainly, it was I teared up because you're hearing him react the way that she was terrified everybody in her life is going to react once they find out about her magic. Yeah. So he starts piecing it together. And I think the first line that hit me was that he says he did it for her. Mm-hmm. Like in a very nasty tone, at least in the audiobook, he lists out all these things that he did. And then he's like, it's he did it. And then she says, well, he only helps me when I ask for help. He doesn't speak for me. He doesn't help me all the time. And he's like, oh, ethical is he? This just gets better and better. I suppose those are his yellow eyes we've been seeing all these last few weeks. Which, okay. All right. Okay. That was uncalled for, actually, sir. Mm-hmm. And then as it continues, you can see her getting visibly upset, right? She talks about how she just wants to like shrink and die and cry and wish just wasn't happening. And Raven is getting visibly upset because he's like trying to talk to the nightmare. But then you got Elm in the back and he can see her getting upset. And then Elm says this other line. And this is where I got real mad. And I think in the car, I literally yelled. I was like, get him out of here.
Literally.
He said, this just confirms everything I told you about her, that she's been lying to us the entire time. And he says it, at least in the audiobook, she says it in such a snobby, mad tone, which I mean, does follow with Elm's brows darkened when he's like, get out, actually. So his brows darken, he sets his jaw, and then beneath the shadow of his frown, she sees the glass in his narrowed green eyes. My heart was real upset at him for reacting that way, and also really sad for her because that's everything she didn't want to happen. And you know who doesn't react that way? Who probably everybody thought would react that way? Raven. So again, thank you, Rachel Gillig, for at least writing a slightly emotionally intelligent male who doesn't blow up and apologizes and not thinking that he still knew better after everything that he did. So anyways, that's my notes about how upset Elle made me, and it literally broke my heart for her. Madison? Dallas?
It makes me double down on the fact that I'm mad at Raven. Because Elm should not have even been in the room. When you are speaking to somebody that you are romantically involved with and it is a serious discussion such as what fucking voice spoke to me when I was in your mind or something along those lines, you don't have other people in the room, right? If it was just like them two and she was a friend or they like just met her, sure, right? You need backup. That boy should have never been anywhere near that conversation.
I think for me, maybe, now that you're saying this, I think for me, maybe also why it's upset me with what he said, because she spends a lot of time with him this book and they build a lot of trust between each other. They become very close. Like they work together quite a bit. And I feel like there's a point where even though they can both be kind of snippy at each other, they're still usually pretty truthful to each other. So I think it hurt more because she spends a lot of time with Elm. Mm-hmm. And even though Elm doesn't always agree with Raven's plans, he has still always been there kind of supporting and helping her too. So for him to kind of turn on her like that and be so upset, I think also is why it hurt my heart and made me mad at him for reacting that way.
Maz, what do you think?
Listen, words were said. Did he react very hot-headedly? Yes. However, we know Elm's past. We know he does not come from a good past, and he is very die-hard for the Yu family. The only king Hold on. The only king he has ever known that he does not have a great relationship with is his father, who he hates. And then there's his brother who brutalized him as he was younger and who will most likely be the next king if no one kills this kid. And so he's, again, doesn't have a great history whenever it comes to royalty, those who were once king. He loves to protect the Yu family because they literally took him in and he's essentially a Yu in himself. And even Raven, back whenever we were talking about them going on the raid, how Raven said like Elm would die before he betrayed any of them. I think he is mostly coming from a place of he feels betrayed because not that they had a right to know Elspeth's secret yet, but I just think because he's like a spooked horse, toothless, you gotta just reach your hand out and not look at him and just like give him time. Yeah, I think you just got to be really gentle parenting with Elm because he has had such a rough past that, again, does he go a little all over the place? Yes, but I think it's from a place of good intentions because, again, he is trying to protect you. He doesn't like the Alder King. He's been allegedly dead for years and people blame him a lot for the mist and what some people do poorly with the cards, like Hoth, sending people into the mist. So I think like all of this bad history and him just trying to find a little crumb of happiness, he's just wanting to do anything and everything in his right to protect his little bubble of happiness. And I will step off of my soapbox now.
Which is why I think he would have reacted way differently if Raven would have like got the information on his own, process it, and then explained it to him in a way that he would understand.
Oh, I think Elm probably still would have blown up.
Can I also play devil's advocate for a second to also say that has Raven not had a shitty time growing up as well and a tough past dealing also with the same family?
I mean, he has and a he rough didn't childhood, but Elm had it rougher. Raven had a happy parents and happy siblings like that loved him. He had that nature versus nurture.
Because Elm lived with them, so he got that. And
after Raven adopted him.
Raven was treated the same way by Elm's family, if not.
But Raven wasn't brutalized by his
family.
But if
not equally, well, so did Raven when he was put into training because they know they can use him. And they know he's infected.
I still, listen, I don't compare tragedies, but if I had to, I'm going to say
If I had to.
Because I won't say, because it's like kind of a spoiler, not really, but like Elm really reminds me of another character from another series that have like the same background. And yeah, so like Elm already reminded me of a different character.
Who?
I don't want to say.
Why?
Fine.
Are we going to be reading the book?
I don't know. Just in case you do. I can say who has a tragic backstory.
Who?
Arden. From The Cruel Prince. Like, Cardin and Elm could be trauma buddies.
Okay.
And I want to know if other people agree. Because whenever I read Elm, and then I, like, it's, I just want happiness for my sweet angel baby boys.
Happiness. Okay, so I want to change course. I feel like you guys were just going to agree to disagree on this the whole time.
Yes, probably.
So I'm moving forward. Okay, we talked in both episodes about there being a betrayal, right? We were like, there's going to be a betrayal. I feel it in my bones. I truly thought it was going to be one of the circle, not her random uncle, right? Did anyone see that coming?
I just thought it was going to be more impactful.
Yes, or I thought it was going to be her dad. Or, like, her evil stepmother coming in, doing something crazy. I mean, I didn't expect her dad to do it because her dad is a decent man. Mm-hmm. He literally comes in and gives her the well card and has that moment, which
regrets.
That was so sweet. But, I definitely thought it was going to be not him. And that really just made me want to, like, punch him in the face. So.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming, which I guess is a good thing. Right? I was like, oh, I didn't realize you still existed.
Or at one point I thought like Ione because of the card changing her so much.
Once upon a time I did, but then like as the story went on, I was like, no, because you're still fighting to still have like a crumb of your original self.
See, okay, can we talk about her for a second?
I remember us talking in our last episode and we were arguing about the fact that whether or not she was holding or not holding or using it or not using the card. Mm-hmm. And it proved in this part of the book that she was not holding the card, but it was still being used on her. So I think it confirms that Hoth is using the Scythe card to get her to tap the Maiden card and just have it on. I don't know if it's actually ever turning off.
So during the chalice, though, she does admit that she has always wanted a bit of power, right? She's always had this little bit of thing that she wants. And the card gives her that. And she makes a comment. I can't remember the word for word, but it was kind of like, essentially, the price to pay is worth it because she wants the power. She wants to be a strong...
I can pull it up because I think I had a note on it.
Yes. And I actually, yeah, that was more along the lines of the comment I was going to make. So maybe it was during the chalice game because we did talk about that. And they talk about, like, there should only be so much time that you're using the cards, right? Until it starts to really affect you and take away from you. And she doesn't see anything wrong with that, essentially. Like, she's wanting to use it because it will make her stronger and powerful.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I did not see that coming. I thought, like you said, that she's being forced to use it or that they're, like, having her use it more than she should be to make her like that. But she's choosing that on her own.
But he does use the Scythe card on her.
To trick them into doing the chalice.
Yes, he did admit that he uses the Scythe card on her multiple times. But she also, during the game, admits that she likes using her Maiden card because of what it makes her.
I don't think I got that vibe.
She says it.
I don't think it registered here.
So I think, to your point, everything that she says is very Ione coded to where she asks, like, have you been with other people since we've been betrothed? He says yes. And so then everyone starts tagging on those related questions and we learn how much more of a piece of trash Hoth is. Mm-hmm. And everything she says is fairly normal. And then there's, like, one part where it just seems like the card just gets her back. And it's like, no, we're going to change our personality for a little bit. To where she says,
Madison, do you listen to audiobooks?
Only if it's dual narrated.
I was not going to say that.
I have a problem.
I need you to listen to this book. It's not dual narrated. But you need to hear the way that she, like, voice acts out each person.
She won't do it.
You need to, because she gives
you tell me, like, if you record a clip and send it to me, I'll listen to the clip.
It gives such a different vibe sometimes. Like, this is one of the very few audiobooks with a single narrator where I felt like I knew who was talking and I could feel the emotion or thoughts of that person by how she spoke. Like, and the way that she does Ione, I don't know. I think that might be part of where my vibes are coming from.
It's possible. That's very possible. But yeah, no, she won't do it. Because she... Have you ever seen the movie Brave? I do, my hair flows in the wind.
So to me, Ione seems still very normal. And then on page 344, whenever it's Elspeth's turn to ask her a question, she says, is this what you really want, Ione? And to that, Ione says, you're just like Mother Elspeth, head in the clouds. You don't see how hard it is for a woman to be powerful, to be fearless, and blunder because you never cared about being more than exactly what you are, but I do. And if it takes a cold heart to be fearless, then so be it. And that's pretty much about it. But
so was that the maiden speaking for her?
I think in that point it was.
See, but in this is where I have trouble distinguishing that, because in the audiobook, she always sounds the way that she sounds now that she has the Maiden card when she speaks. So to me, that sounds like, in the audiobook, it sounds like that's her personal thoughts and her feelings, because it sounds just like her all the time. Mm-hmm. There's not like a distinguishable moment where you, like, kind of, even when they use the Scythe card in the audiobook, you can tell the difference of, like, they might be under the influence of somebody right now versus, like, they're themselves. So,
But that's part of
the card. So I don't know. Now I'm questioning.
Right. I feel like it's more she's under the Maiden card the whole time. But then when she speaks and you're like, oh, there's Ione, like, that's her trying to fight against it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more the opposite of what you're thinking, where it's like, I'm under the influence is what I sound like. Now I sound like my true self. Like, I don't think there's a voice change. I think there's just a small glimmer of evidence that there's the real Ione still there. Mm. Yeah, and everything else is Maiden card.
For the Maiden card, like that degeneration in a sense is like the longer you use it, the colder your heart gets. So it's like not necessarily changing her, but the longer or the more time she uses that card, then like the more her personality changes a little bit.
Right.
I think that's one moment. But I'm also disappointed in all those kids for not grasping, like, sip. Oh no, the chalice. I'm like.
And also, what kind of fucking game is that?
Yeah. Also, a little.
That's a no.
A little, I wouldn't say mad, but I'm just like, Elspeth, girlfriend. Because. Raven was like, oh, I can help you if you just, like, let me in. And she was like, no, thank you. But I'm also, like, maybe, like, I know the nightmare is your degeneration, but maybe be like, hey, nightmare, you want to help a girl out? Just a little bit?
I thought he said he couldn't. Because he explains it, because she says, help me. And he says something like, I can't because it's in your blood or something like that.
Yeah, because they had to drink, like, this the wine, right?
Right. So he's like, you just need to relax, like, don't fight it. And he also tells her.
He literally tries to talk her through it. He's like, yes, the words mean things.
Yes. You have to ask the right question. You can give an answer that is truthful, but not giving away everything.
Right. And Raven were saying the same thing.
Yes. Both of them are like, calm down. Think about what you're saying. Think about what they asked. And even Raven at one point was like, he asked this, not this. Give an answer to this.
She's panicked.
He asked what happened, not how it happened. Just say you broke your wrist. Like, that's all she had to do.
I mean, in a simple sense, yes. But also she had to be like waiting for the moment that Raven figured out that something was in there as he's like in her freaking brain. So I can see why she was like, holy cow, like, this is not okay. Like, I'm not all
right. Right. Yeah.
There's a lot riding on her shoulders, you know? And she knew that some of them still didn't trust her. Like, she knew Elm didn't trust her in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to ask him, like, oh, do you trust me? But then she was like, nah, better not.
Right. Yep.
So I think she was worried on, like, how everybody would find out.
Yeah. I think she got way too in her head. And then I forgot, personally, about the, like, you fight it and then it starts to poison you if you fight it too hard. So then my brain was like, oh my God, she's going to kill herself because she won't stop fighting. She's going to die before the nightmare can even take over.
So I did for sure think that, because remember it showed it was like telling us about the picture of the chalice card and how like it has to be full, like you have to fill it up with the blood. Mm-hmm. I thought she was going to have to fill a cup. To like make it stop.
Right.
I was a little worried.
And I just found the nightmare part. He says that the chalice affects your blood.
Yeah.
So that's why he can't help.
I was going to say that. Yeah. That's what I thought he said. Predictions of the future of book two. I know we might not do book two. Well, we probably aren't doing book two for our book club. But how the fuck do you think this is going to continue? Do you have a theory for how Elspeth might come back? Or do you have any further theories on the Shepherd King? Dallas, Queen of Theories, do you have any thoughts?
I know that Elspeth is not gone because there's a book two. I think the nightmare is just protecting her. I think that he cares about her. I think that he's going to work to help bring her back. I don't think Ione is going to be a bad guy. I think that Elm is maybe at a point where he might be betraying them in book two.
Wow.
I say that because they mentioned that he would never do it. I don't know. The way he reacted, it's very sus. So I don't like it. And I don't have any theories on the king. Like, I don't know what's happening with this weird ass king that we keep hearing about that we didn't really meet until the end of the book. I don't understand him. I really thought that his court was infected. Like, I don't know. Maybe I thought too much into it. Maybe it's not answered yet. I don't know. But I think her and the Nightmare will become like more of an equal symbiotic relationship.
After that ending, I just want everything to be all sunshine and rainbows. I'm like, Emery's gonna be saved. Elspeth's gonna get back from her jet to holiday. It's Uncle holiday. Nightmare is gonna be in the background. He's like, I'll go now. That's all I got. Happiness. Hopefully a Hoth death because he deserves it. Hopefully just like death to that whole entire family. That's not Elm because I love that sassy boy.
You know, I really hope so too, since the Rowan kings are the ones who decided to ruin everybody's lives. So I hope their lives are ruined. Minus Elm, even though I'm mad at him. I don't think he deserves the same brutality that the rest of them do.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Want to know more about the Nightmare. And I know we get a lot of the Book of Alders, and it's a lot of rhymes and poetry, but I like want to know the real life, not just the part where he starts being like, I need this. Can I trade you this? And then the spirit's like, sure, thank you. Here's a card. Like, I want to know who he was before.
Oh, like a prequel. Yeah.
I would love to know that. Or how that plays into it. Agree with you. I know Elspeth isn't dead, but it kind of feels like she is. And I don't know in any way. I cannot think of any way of how she's going to come back or how it's going to work out. Even if he makes deals with the king, my brain cannot think of a way that it will happen. I'm sure it will. I'm she's also just napping. Mainly like sad boy hours for Raven. I feel so sad for him.
That is so, pretty shitty.
He, poor guy. Yeah. Poor guy. He gets the love of his life, loses the love of his life. And of course, he finds out everything a little too late to even try to start helping. So sad boy.
That's true.
And this book got me more than I thought it was going to.
I feel a little bad. That I was not like emotionally distraught like you guys are.
I didn't cry.
I feel like I thought you would be at least a little more emotionally upset with how much you love Elspeth.
Because she's not gone. True. She's not
gone. Yeah, I know, but like the rest of the shit happening.
Yeah,
this I was like, poor girl, there's too much shit happening to her.
There's a lot of shit happening to her, but she's strong. And I have faith in her. She will rise. And I think that.
This was recorded on Easter, in case you're wondering. Anyways, go ahead.
I know that.
Anyways. Oh my God, guys. Anyways, I think that I was not as emotionally distraught as I could have been because I also, as a lot of people know, I read and listen to multiple books at once. Like all the time. And I had just finished Zodiac Academy book 4, if you know, you know, and was emotionally distraught for like 3 days. So I think that nothing else mattered to me. You guys don't know, but I know.
I was gonna know, but then Sarah J. Maas was like, oh, ACOTAR this fall, which is when I was gonna read Zodiac Academy. So I'm like, well, then that ruined that plan.
What?
Listen, I'm okay. Life of a mood reader. If you're a mood reader, you get it. Like the closest I get to planning is based off of like monthly vibes or monthly colors. So like that's like I have a list on my phone of like monthly hopefuls. I think like last month I only read 2 of my like 6 hopefuls. This month,
more
I don't know how many we're going to get through, but. We're trying.
You just make me laugh because you're like, I'm going to read it in the fall.
That's as close as I can get. Because, I mean, like, Zodiac Academy, they're going to school. That's when kids are back in school. That's as close
whatever
as I can
makes
get
you happy.
Vibes.
Does it get, is it like spooky magic vibes? Is that the vibes you're going for fall? Is
no,
that
just why like think- August, get back to school, oh. kids. So, oh, Zodiac okay. Academy, let's go to school.
Let's go to school.
Oh. All right.
Okay, that's fair. Whatever makes you happy, my friend. If you want to wait until the fall to have emotional distress, that's fine.
I won't, because now I got to read ACOTAR. Or first I got to do my reread, and then I got to read the new book.
Are you going to wait till they're both out before you start ZA? That's in January. A school is almost out again.
Dallas.
That's
why
I'm saying Zodiac Academy isn't going to happen now. Because SJM sidetracked my rough draft of my reading plans. Listen. If you're a mood reader, you get the struggle.
You have read ACOTAR.
I know, but the first book's coming out in October. 6 is in October, 7 is in January.
You know, there's summer school. That's a thing.
No, but I already have plans for the summer.
My niece is going. Anyways.
Some people go to school all year. You know, no, most of these characters would fucking be in summer school, to be honest.
I already have mental vibes for the summer, and it's not school related. And my vibes are probably like not even gonna happen. Like the only summer vibes that I know I gotta do is I got through the Ruinous Love trilogy. Now I think I was gonna do Harvest Season or no. Yes.
You know what's good for summer, Madison?
It's good for summer. Like, I turn pretty.
A reverse harem.
I'm just kidding.
That's good for summer.
No, because also the covers don't scream summer. It's got to be bright. Gosh.
But when you open the book, the pages are white. Like summer. Bright.
No.
I feel like white goes with winter.
Exactly.
That's just me.
We live in Florida. There is no white winter here.
Hey, I've seen it flurry four times in my 26 years of life. I forgot how old I was for a second.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'll just be on this journey alone, except for I won't because I have an Audible account that Cassidy is in.
I'll get there.
I'm moving on from Madison. I'm going to Cassidy now. Cassidy?
I'll get there. I just have to have the mentality to start a full series like that.
You will love it.
Too.
You literally listen for the vibes. That's all it is.
Only if you promise. That's what it is. Yes. Also, though, I somewhat have to start Dungeon Crawler Carl.
I see that everywhere.
Because
do you have to start that, though?
Yes, because Drew, Mandy, Connor, and I have tickets to go to his book release here in Orlando to hear him talk and have our book signed. And they bought it 2 days ago. And I've heard quite a bit of the books from Drew listening to it. But I actually have to, like, listen to that since.
You know, Mandy has told me that I remind her of Princess Donut.
Yes.
Which I guess is a cat.
At some point, she gets to pick a character, and she picks this little velociraptor that she names Mongo, and she take Mongo everywhere. She feed him the dead people that they kill, and she sings a whole song of Wonderwall to Mongo as a lullaby, but she changes all the words. And if you listen to the book as an audiobook, Madison, now this is where I know you're going to say, no dual narration. This man, you wouldn't even know it is a single person doing it because he's a voice actor and every single animated character has the completely different voice. I'm going to pitch you on this.
Because he's a voice actor.
Hold on. Let me just play you a little clip.
She slunk away. She's gone.
Let me just play you a little clip.
Because this is my fish.
This is the...
Your tortoise shell.
This was the very first thing I ever heard from this book.
This is my song. Today is gonna be the day, gonna fireball an orca too. By now, he'll be saying out with his body melting down to stew.
Just so you guys know, Jesus died for that song.
So, yeah.
That was so much fun. I had a good time. I hope that you all loved our book club as much as we did. Mm-hmm. If you did love our book club, you will be the first to know our next book in book club is... Madison, take it away.
It's gonna be Direbound, and I will listen to
Direbound!
That one.
Direbound! Ow!
Where the hell you been, Loka?
No.
Ow! No. Yes, we're covering Dire Bound. We are starting to read it as soon as we hit end on this recording. So if you like this, please make sure to like and subscribe to our channel so that way you can keep up with the latest goodish updates. And we'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.